Hello and welcome to the JA3K show, podcast number like 11 or something. Today we have a special guest. So often I'm just scrolling Twitter mindlessly, not being an agent, not having any agency. But then on other days, every person I see, I just invite on my podcast because I'm an agent. And on that day, I saw this tweet by Fred saying he thought if he just recorded the conversations with his friends, he could have a successful podcast. And then I invited him on my podcast. And now we're doing it. So we're sort of testing
now
Fred's
guaranteed
theory.
Success.
Yeah, or guaranteed success. Fred and I are both like in this like Twitter scene with like a lot of pseudonymous people. Like, I don't know, like I guess maybe Eigen, Chaos, this kind of our central accounts. I don't know how you see it from like where you stand in the graph.
No, there are definitely a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially compared to the rest of Twitter.
Yeah, especially compared to the rest of Twitter. So yeah, how do you think about being like a real name account? Because yeah, you just are like Fred Kuzlinski.
Yeah, just me.
Yeah. And yeah, your real face.
Yeah. Well, it started as an accident because I really created Twitter to complain about Airbnb.
Oh, nice. Did that work?
Yeah, it actually okay. Did. But
yeah,
I didn't
it probably
tweet
worked more effectively
like...
than if like your username was chaosprime_.
Exactly. So yeah, I just started Twitter to complain about Airbnb. Didn't use it for a year, and then I started using Twitter to sort of replace my social interaction during the pandemic. And then by the time I figured out that everyone else was anonymous and anonymity might have some benefits, I was already like way too deep, and I was like, ah, I don't want to restart. And now that I actually like know people and shit, I'm not gonna restart now. I have an anon sort of account, like an alt, but I just kind of tweet the vaguely controversial things that come to mind, and it has very few followers at this point, so I just kind of leave that be, you know?
Mm. I often worry it's like just too late to be anonymous with this much text from me on the internet. Have you seen this project? I should have looked up the name before we started, but there's like this Hacker News project where like if you post a user, it'll show you which users have the most similar style.
Yeah, I mean, they did that with Ted K, right? So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm sure the technology has advanced. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I thought so. He was ratted out by his brother, though.
Oh, well, yeah, but like the same kind of thing, right? The writing style.
Yeah, I guess it's the same thing where like maybe in the past, if I had a distinctive writing style, like a family member would notice. But now, like a machine learning model,
anyone
will notice
can,
everyone
yeah.
who's doing this.
Yeah.
I guess you're right. It is the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, if you just tweet controversial thoughts on the alt, hopefully the writing style will be angrier, so it'll fool the machine learning algorithm. Who knows? It's possible.
That's true. Yeah. If you just like cut out all the takes about your breakfast and
exactly.
that. Yeah, I often wonder, because my Twitter username is JA3K and I'm just this like random splash of color, if like people assume I'm anonymous when they like follow me and stuff, but it's actually only two clicks to my LinkedIn.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I mean, I think my take on it is that it's like I think if you just don't put things too like obviously out on the internet, I think that's probably enough, right? Because if someone wants to find out about me, you know, even if I was anon, like my OPSEC isn't good enough to really prevent anyone from finding me anyways. Like I'm not gonna go that crazy with it, but you know, like I figure if I keep my location and like stuff like that off the internet and my phone number, like that's probably enough, you know. That's my take on it, because okay. Everyone if anyone wants to figure it out, they probably will.
I don't know if I should like say this on the stream, but it's like from your Twitter, it's only three clicks to know your phone number.
I know, but nobody's gonna do those three clicks.
Okay. you're right.
That's what I figure. I don't know, because like I've had you know, what was it, like interviews or something, and like you know, I had like stuff on my website, and then they ask me things that are very clearly on my resume and website. So from this I gathered that people don't read, so you know, it's all good.
Yeah, most people don't. Yeah, I was almost offended. Yeah. Though when we were organizing this call and you like gave me your number, I was like, I already know that. I've done my research.
you got the Nardwar light.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I should watch more of his show. I feel like it's like inspirational.
That's some good interviewing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I should take my phone number off the internet, though. It's a good point, though.
Yeah, maybe. I'll give you some time before I upload this if you want to. Yeah, and another question about Twitter, though. I was wondering if you like remember like why we became mutuals. I think it was like
No,
2-ish. Oh,
that's
you
the
don't
answer.
remember? Okay.
I don't know. No, I have no idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I
No,
guess I remember all my mutuals before until like 100, and then like it's like it's just too many. I feel like recently I've been just pouring in all these like, who was the person who said that they would listen to this? Like Lowell Denning or
Yeah,
something?
Dennings or something.
Dennings, yeah. Yeah, we're mutuals, but I guess I like his tweets. I guess that's why we're mutuals. But thanks for encouraging this, Lowell. Hopefully you're listening.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I don't really interact with them too much, but yeah, that was cool.
Okay, but
Always
I
nice to see
remember it's because
encouragement.
you made a tweet. I couldn't find the tweet. Probably because I'm bad at Twitter search. There must be a way to search for tweets by Fred replied to by Jake. Oh no, I guess I should tweet search for my tweets that are replies to you. I guess that would be.
I think you could just search both our handles, and then that'll give you both. Just tweets that are both tagged on, which is, I mean, yeah, but the problem with is that using Twitter search is just the worst thing ever,
But anyway, you made a tweet that was like, why have we not like solved health yet or something? That was like the gist, like, or like why is
Maybe.
there not better knowledge about like the effects of nutrition on health?
Oh,
And
yeah, I mean. Oh, yeah, no, go ahead, sorry.
I was just bringing it up because I saw like you had a recent tweet that was like every time a tech bro gets into health, they start thinking in terms of cause and effect, and I just felt like it was like the completion of this like 2-year arc that maybe you weren't aware of or something.
Was very aware. I keep having these thoughts over and over. It's nutrition is funny. Not to get too terrible at OPSEC now that I talked about this, but I have a family member who's in the nutrition program, and it's like just there are a lot of things in like nutrition and dietetics in school that are very clearly incorrect and mostly due to like regulatory capture. But I just try not to talk about that too much because I mean there's too much there's too much of a financial interest in nutrition, to be honest, for it to be legit, which is actually why I kind of sort of actually trust the tech bros a little more, despite their like methodology being whack of just shoving vitamins and minerals in themselves. But at least they're doing it for the love of the game, right? As opposed to selling people Doritos. So I guess I kind of dig that. But yeah, I don't know. My takes on nutrition are you should probably not think about it too hard, and also do things that are Lindy, right? Because then I feel like if you follow your grandma's nutrition, you're probably gonna be better off than if you follow some sort of newfangled plan where you eat a bunch of pills or you eat frozen burritos every single day because someone told you that they're healthy. I don't know. So that's really my take on it. I try not to think about it too much, which is impossible for me, of course, but I just try not to let my neuroticism and interest in nutrition take over my life. So now I just kind of eat what my grandma probably would have eaten from what I figured out. So yeah, works out okay.
Yeah, it's gotten really bad for me. Like every time someone uses the word healthy in a sentence, I like have to suppress this urge to argue. Like, oh yeah, that's healthy? What health metrics do you think it would be good for? Where's your research? You have any studies at all? Like, why do you think this?
But that's the thing, right? Like the studies are so useless half the time, right? I mean, it's like either it's in rats or it's funded by like the food industry, or it's like sample size of five, and judging whether whatever intervention actually worked is usually hard because it's usually some sort of like what is it, observational study, right? I don't know whether this stuff is gonna like translate into real world effects, right?
That's true. Yeah, I guess it's like the science spinitism where like once you see the study, you actually have to lower your prior on the result.
Yeah. Or eggs are unhealthy. Eggs are
Oh,
healthy.
yeah. Eggs are
Yeah.
so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I also wanted to ask you, so you can crack an egg with one hand, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any tips? How does that work?
Well, so what you got to do is you get a job where you
Uh-huh.
have very little time, and then you get really good at quick cooking fast, and then things just come naturally quickly to you. No, I don't know. That was the joke answer. I have no clue. I started doing it, and I had no idea it was hard. And then now I just do it regularly.
Okay.
I think practice is the answer. I mean, that's the boring answer.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, I watched a YouTube video by Gordon Ramsay where he like cracked a bunch of eggs one-handed while giving tips, but yeah, I guess if that didn't help me, there's no way this like audio only
So what? Well, what's the like? What happens? Does it just break apart completely?
You know what? I should really just try. I feel like I have this failure of will where like I'm holding the egg with one hand and I imagine if I just crack the egg, it'll just shatter everywhere. But of course it
Oh,
won't. I mean,
you've never done it before, right? Is that what you're saying?
yeah, I've never really done it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ah.
I'll try today. I'll try today.
Yeah, you should give it a shot. I didn't think it was like exceptionally hard.
Okay. I mean, it's one of those things that just looks hard and most people never attempt because it looks hard, but it's actually not hard. Okay, I'll report back. Oh yeah, back to health. What health thing that I guess I've gone crazy on is alcohol. I guess there's only associational results, but I don't know. The thing about associational results I find is like when people don't believe them, they can always think of a confounder. And like the confounder doesn't have to actually explain it. It could be the case that when you control for that, it gets worse. Like they don't know. They're just like, "Oh, I won't believe it." But I definitely believe one drink a day minimizes mortality at this point.
I don't know whether it minimizes because, like, I actually read your blog post about this, but like, I think that there's a very good argument that it definitely doesn't affect mortality strongly one way or the other, right? And that's I think the stronger argument and more convincing anyways for most people, for me at least, right? So I don't know. Yeah, like I never really bought it because like it doesn't seem to affect me personally, which is really the way I judge most things now, right? Like I think nutrition also is super personal because you have different gut microbiome, you process food differently, genetics play a factor too. Like rice makes me super sleepy, so if someone tells me rice is healthy, like I mean, okay, but it like knocks half the day out for me. So personally, alcohol, one drink of alcohol doesn't really make me feel anything, so clearly it's fine, right? But if you have like Asian flush, right, clearly alcohol will not be great for you, right? On the other hand,
Yeah,
and
it's true,
also,
actually. I haven't seen these studies replicated in Asia. Might be different there.
yeah, that would definitely be different, right? Because then you have, I think it's like higher levels of liver cancer, cirrhosis, et cetera, because what is it? It's like you end up building up like aldehyde in your body or something. I don't remember now, but
Yeah, I
yeah.
think overall mortality from cancer goes down with one drink, but there are certain cancers that go up even with a little bit of alcohol.
Yeah, it's like esophageal cancer, right? Because it's touching your esophagus or something. Mouth cancer, yeah. I mean, but really, the scale is so small that I don't. This is the problem I have, right? Where I end up getting too deep, and like I need to step back and remind myself about scale, right? Like this is really very, very minimal. One drink of alcohol, right? On the grand scale of things, this is like tiny, as opposed to like regular everyday decisions, like.
Yeah, that's just what I believed before I looked into it, but I don't know. I feel like a 40% reduction in mortality to cardiovascular disease is like it's actually quite large. Like much larger than I would have expected before actually looking at the data.
Yeah, but I don't believe that either. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe like I don't know. I don't know. My opinions are mostly like I think common sense wins out over studies. That's what I've kind of settled on, right? 'Cause I don't know. Does this make sense?
Yeah, it's
I
possible.
know
I
a
just
lot of
kind of
people.
like want to have a drink a day, so now I'm like looking for evidence. It's like
Yeah. I
good.
mean,
And
I
like
do
the
that
evidence is
too,
good enough
right?
that like it's not like gonna dissuade me from doing this. Like maybe if I saw that they actually had worse mortality, I'd be like, oh, I should stop. But maybe the evidence isn't good enough that if you actually don't want to do this, you should start.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured. That's what I do too. It's like I look at some studies, I'm like, "Oh, it's probably not going to kill me." And then I weighed it based on common sense, like how many people do I know that have one drink a day that have no visible adverse effects, right? And I'm like, "All right, this is probably good enough for me, right?" And the reason why I kind of it's like I think it's like the midwit meme, right? Everyone uses common sense, right? And then like or I guess, what is it? Bottom wit? Dimwit, right, Dimwit. I'm the Dimwit. Dimwit is like, use common sense, Midwit. No, you need studies. And then, the guy on the far right is, oh, just use common sense. I used to like look at studies obsessively, and then I realized it was all bunk anyways. And then, no, it's just like, my family all drinks, like, when they drink one drink a day, everyone's pretty normal. And besides, for me, like, it doesn't disrupt my sleep quality. It doesn't make me feel groggy the next day, right? I mean, I don't see it being a problem, so I don't know. But it's I don't know. It's just like a 40% reduction in cardiovascular disease is like super high, anyways. So I don't know. Seems kind of suspect to me, right? Because otherwise, that would be a better intervention than like statins or something, right?
I don't know how effective statins are, but I mean, this is well replicated. So it's like there's like six-figure studies in America and the UK that show like similar benefits to cardiovascular disease. It's like also robust to like if you control for how likely the people are to die of cardiovascular disease. I don't know how they do that. Probably like blood pressure and cholesterol or something. You see a similar effect of mortality for both groups.
I mean, I don't know. Like my I have a general suspicion, but in any case, I'm quite happy to continue drinking one drink a day. So
yeah, another reason to think this effect might be real. We should probably just move on, but. There is experimental results in pigs where you can see like when you give them wine, they like their things happen to their heart, which I guess a cardiologist would say are healthy. I couldn't follow that research as well. It wasn't as clear like then the mortality went down.
Nice. I like the idea of giving pigs wine, to be honest.
Yeah. I thought so too. Yeah. They also gave them beer and ethanol the animal models for alcohol are pretty cool, I think. But yeah, I guess there's also reasons to doubt that they're relevant.
You should send me some of that, cause or I'll look at your blog post, cause I think I like skimmed over that.
But yeah, I didn't emphasize that part because I thought it was weaker evidence, but I thought it was like a good counter argument to a counter argument, which is that like, oh, it's all associational. But I didn't think it, like on its own, it was very good evidence.
Fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the topic of like everyday interventions, right? That's like everyday interventions that would like be probably more effective than this, right? Is like walking a little, fiber, eating some fiber. Like these things are probably far more effective in like reducing all cause mortality than drinking alcohol once per day. But I could be wrong, That's just
fiber.
That's just following up on that thing. Yeah, like eating a regular amount of fiber.
Okay. Yeah, I am. Yeah. I don't know about fiber. I mean, so can you make an argument for fiber? Because I've always felt like if you're happy with the quality of your poops, there's no reason to like eat more or less fiber. But maybe I only feel that way because I'm eating a good amount of fiber and my poops are good, and it's like I'm just by coincidence satisfying this health requirement without thinking about it.
I mean, it's like the amount required is like 30 grams.
Yeah, that's a lot though, right? Like, I feel like whenever I look at something's fiber, it's like one or two. I don't think I'm eating 30. I'd be surprised.
That's the funny thing, right? I started paying attention to it, and it's like, it's funny because the foods, they don't really, how do I say this? Like they don't, the foods that you think are high in fiber are not high in fiber, and the perception of food having fiber is not really correlated with it actually having fiber. That's what I meant to say.
Like, yeah, I feel like that happens a lot with meat, where it's like got a lot of good stuff that people don't emphasize.
Yeah, like. Or like what I was thinking is like I thought cucumber and like bell pepper would have a lot of fiber. It does not. It's mostly just water, on the other hand, like berries, super high in fiber, which I was surprised by actually, because they're
including
so sweet.
Bananas?
You're like, no.
Okay.
No,
bananas
berries,
are
like,
berries, though,
like
right?
Blackberries.
Okay.
Oh man, I'm on the culinary side of this discussion. Yeah. Yeah, like tomatoes being berries, fruits.
Okay, yeah, I used to love blueberries. I still do, but it's not really the season for them. But I would just get like 5-pound boxes and just eat them all myself when I lived alone.
That's fiber. I mean, I used to do the same, yeah. But yeah, so what was I saying? Yeah, so like fiber. The case for fiber is that, first of all, you're feeding your gut microbiome, right? Which is super important. I don't have any like sources off the top of my head, but
is that
case,
the mechanism through which it helps you poop? The microbiome likes the fiber?
No, so Well, first of all, so the pooping part is because it helps bulk up the stool, right? So it doesn't become dense and hard, right? So that's the mechanism it does that through. And then like the two types of fiber, soluble and insoluble, right? Soluble fiber helps bulk, and also it helps feed the gut bacteria. Insoluble fiber, apparently the mechanism, and this sounds kind of wild to me, and like I didn't really read into it too much, but in any case, apparently the way that insoluble fiber helps prevent against colon cancer is that it actually like slightly irritates your lining of your intestine, which apparently like sort of helps sort of I don't know, stimulate cell growth there, which is kind of wild. I don't know if that's actually true or not, but I watched like a few YouTube videos and that seems to be the case. I'm like, okay. But yeah, mostly I'm eating fiber for the gut microbiome effects.
Oh,
So
so are the sources of fiber, will they give you mostly both, or do you have to like have like two different kinds of berries or something if you want both kinds?
Well, berries have like insoluble because that's like the seeds, right?
Okay.
And but yeah, I mean, like for example, like you know, I mean, it's basically if it's hard, it's insoluble, right? If the fruit or vegetable is like watery, it's definitely soluble, right? That kind of thing, right? Skins insoluble, like pulp soluble. So that's sort of the rule of thumb guide. So I generally, honestly,
Okay, so when you
at
eat a
this
fruit, it
point,
probably has like both, and it's got like the insoluble and like the skin or seeds, and then the soluble and like the juicy bit. Okay, so that's why it's important to eat the skin, I guess. Okay, I always
And
thought that
I
was
mean,
like a scam. It's like I'm always suspicious of health advice that seems like something that you'd like tell your kid when you're annoyed.
that's why you're so pro one drink of alcohol a day, huh?
Yeah, you
You're not
can't have
telling that
this,
to your
it'll give you
kid.
cancer.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah.
Now I
Yeah,
wonder if it'd be
no, but
healthy for kids. I guess I probably shouldn't explore that thought.
probably, I mean, it's probably like an age cutoff, right? That'd be fun to find. Illegal, but fun. But yeah, like, what was I gonna say? Yeah, so, but yeah, in any case, the point is that at some point, I got lazy. I used to make myself like veggie shakes. Very recently, I've kind of just started eating psyllium husk, like Metamucil, but the generic kind from Whole Foods. And it works great.
Wait,
I don't know.
psyllium
No,
husk?
no, psyllium. Psyllium husk.
Oh, sounds like
Yeah,
a psychedelic.
it's some kind of vegetable from India or something that like has it's like okra style kind of thing. It has
Oh,
like
okay.
it has like mucus, but it's dry, right? So you mix it with water, and then you're supposed to drink it before it becomes mucilaginous. And then yeah, that's. It works pretty well, you know. Apparently, there are some studies. Again, like I don't really put too much weight on this, but like they do. There are some studies that show that it's like uniquely good for gut health or something. So like, all right, cool, you know. But yeah, it's mostly like this is a band-aid solution. It's mostly because I'm too lazy to go make myself veggie shakes in the last like 2 weeks.
That's cool. Maybe I should have more
Fiber's
fiber.
good.
I've always kind of just thought, yeah, if I was having other poops, there's no reason to think about it, but maybe that's not true.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of been wanting to do the gut like biome test because I'm obsessed a little and like kind of curious what my gut microbiome is like because I kind of pay a little too much attention to it. So
Oh, so you can like
like,
mail your poop in, or I guess they mail the test to you. Oh, you
they
mail
mail
your
the
poop to
test
them.
to you.
Okay.
You mail your poop back. So yeah, but it's $500. So.
Okay. Well, what
I'll
kind of
get
stuff
to
can
it. I'll get to it.
what kind of stuff can they tell you?
Well, like the evidence is pretty weak that they can actually tell you anything interesting because it's sort of like a snapshot in time, right? First of all. Second of all, from what it seems, it doesn't seem good enough to like help you unless you have something seriously wrong with your gut, right? Because first of all, people are not sure what the effects of the various bacteria are, right? What is a good healthy proportion? And also, like, is it bad if you have a large proportion of gut bacteria that are bad in your gut and you don't have any ill effects in health, right? Is that bad? And so apparently it is not really used for diagnosis outside of like if you're really screwed up your gut, but I just kind of wanted to do it for fun. So like
That makes
I guess it's
sense.
like, yeah. Like the
If you ever do
medical use is
23andMe?
limited. No, I don't. I know this sounds tinfoil hat, but it's just I don't trust them with my gene genomic data, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, they literally give it to the government for them to find criminals,
So
which in the future
exactly.
could be
So I
you, who
kind of,
knows?
yeah, I kind of didn't really want to do
No,
that.
that's very wise. I guess I've just decided not to care about privacy.
Yeah.
Maybe
Besides, I know
unwise of
exactly
me.
where I'm from.
Yeah, I was
Yeah.
gonna say it's like similar to this where like you can't really learn anything interesting from your 23andMe, I think. I guess there
Yeah.
are
I mean,
some genetic diseases which you could learn that you actually have, which would sort of suck. But I feel like it's hard to learn that because you probably would know from your family. Unless they were both like recessive. I guess it's possible, but
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, I feel like I got a pretty, I already have enough diseases in my family, like heart disease, to worry about that I don't really need, I feel like it's already neurotic of me enough. Like, I'm already neurotic enough. Like, I don't need more genetic diseases to consider, some random gene mutation that makes me 20% more likely to have X disease. It's like I don't need that in my life also. But yeah.
Oh, so moving on, I think you made a tweet about wanting to find a tutor for what did you want a tutor for again? I
Yeah.
just
So okay, so complicated thoughts, not complicated, but like lengthy, I guess. It's not complicated, it's just lengthy. I wanted a tutor because I don't like school. Twitter kind of made me this way because it made me realize that I didn't like school, I just liked my friends and, hanging around. But I didn't really like the whole idea of sitting in a lecture or, classroom or whatever. And I felt like it was super inefficient and I thought I could do better. And so I wanted to start finding a tutor. Finding a tutor was, of course, hard. Didn't find anyone really. But then what ended up happening was I started considering, like, sort of stagnation with age because of some, like, it was like some personal stuff that kind of made me a little more aware of how people sort of like, people are super smart when they're like teenagers, college age, and then sort of with time, a lot of people just sort of like stagnate mentally, and then they start, losing mental capacity as they get older. And it sort of all clicked that the way that people really avoid this, the people who sort of keep their intelligence at older age, and also it's not just intelligence, it's also like agency, desire to like live, not saying, oh, I'm too old for that, that kind of stuff. Also like being like, what do you call it, like openness as well, all that stuff. It's the highest in it, this is all anecdotal, I have no evidence for any of this. This is all, it seems to be highest in the people who stayed in academia for me, like the people who are academics or in general involved with like college in a vague sense seem to be the ones that like are most I don't know, adjective.
Well, I guess this is like a throwback to earlier, but I feel like this might be like a selection effect. I feel
Of
like
course, right, but I want to select myself into that. That's the point, right?
no, but
Of
I just
course,
mean like,
there's.
you're like in school, the people who are agentic are going to try to win the game they're playing, which in the beginning is school, and then they'll just get stuck playing that game.
Yeah,
Not
no, but
everyone or
no, yeah.
universally, but like just it seems like a strong selection.
Well, no, like it is a strong selection, but it's like I can select myself into it, right? So like, why would I not? Like I get what you're saying, but also, so
So what's the
developing my
causation though? Oh yeah, go on. I guess I interrupted you
so
earlier, but
developing
like
my thoughts further, basically, like there are two options in my mind, right? Either I could go for tutoring, which is super efficient, right? However, the issue is that the administrative cost is high, right? College, on the other hand, like starting from the base, I don't think we should talk about whether like education is good because this becomes a whole separate topic, right?
yeah, I
Which we can
really need
talk
to
about
figure it out now
next.
that I have kids, whether education is good. Oh well.
Let's say on the assumption that education is good, right? Like there's a high administrative cost to tutoring because finding a tutor is hard, right? But it's very efficient. On the other hand, school administrative cost is low. You just go sign up for classes, and but highly inefficient, right? So my theory that I came up with is, in order to keep myself sort of in the game, right, in the long run, because I'm thinking like I gotta keep this up for 40 years, right? How am I going to sort of ensure that 40 years from now, I still did not like give up on life. And, you know, I'm still like sort of like, you know, I wish I there needs to be an adjective for like springy of mind, I guess, you know. And so
neuroplastic, or maybe that's not what you're
sure
talking about.
Yeah, that is basically what I mean. Although that seems, yeah,
too sciencey.
Yeah, so like, yeah, sure. I don't know, it's it's fine. Yeah, but you get what I'm saying. So in any case, the way that I figured I would do this is that sort of school is great because it gives you some sort of it's easy to sign up for, right? Doing one credit or one class rather per year is sort of a good baseline to prevent you from falling too far out of the habit of schooling, and it gives you an external baseline to which to compare yourself to. Because here's a problem I noticed, that people tend to start reading pop science books, people start watching documentaries, people start lying to themselves about learning. And doing these things is not really learning, right, per se. Learning involves pain and distress because you don't know things. Hence, I think in general, you know, it's natural to try to avoid that. And school is great because it gives you like an external baseline to which to compare yourself to, of like homework, tests, right? Did you actually learn something? You know, demonstrate it, show it, right? And of course, you know, I understand the counter argument. Okay, yeah, just make a project, design something, do something, like, okay. But how do I ensure I sustain that over 40 years, right? So like school is great because it, it's like, it sort of provides like a sort of a safety net, right?
Mm-hmm.
That
so,
makes sense. So this
so you didn't find a tutor, but you're now taking like one class a semester.
Yeah, just basically, long story short, I just decided to continue my master's program.
Oh,
that's,
okay.
That's what the whole conclusion was.
So you didn't get a master's. You like dropped out, and but now you're continuing?
No, I just didn't sign up for classes for like one semester, thought about it real hard, and then decided to continue.
Oh, okay. So yeah. This is like one of those schools where it's like easy to start and stop, like Stanford or Harvard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, nice comparison. yeah.
Just so, like those schools, I assume. I don't know where you're going.
Just like them. No, but yeah, so, I mean, I'm still going to continue trying to find a tutor eventually. Eventually it'll work out, you know. But,
okay.
Yeah, that's I didn't really
yeah,
try
I was
too
thinking,
hard
like,
either.
Yeah. I was thinking I kind of wanted, like, a tutor for, like, to get better at programming.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like I'm like, good enough at programming that, like, anyone who could consistently tutor me could probably earn like, I don't know, at least $100, probably $1,000 an hour. Maybe $1,000.
That's the real issue.
I don't know. To be honest, I'd be down to pay $100 an hour if I thought the tutor was like actually improving my skills. But 100's too low, actually, I think.
Yeah, 100. I was about to say 100 is definitely too low because I was paying $100 an hour for like technical interview prep, which is, you know, not the same as like actual coding preparation by someone who's like, I don't know, really good at programming.
Yeah, maybe a tutor is not really what I need. Maybe I just want someone like at my skill level who also has like a project, and like they just hang out with me for an hour while I do my thing, and then I hang out with them for an hour while they do their thing, and we just like roast each other for our choice of text editor. I don't know, maybe that wouldn't actually make either of us better.
No, I think it's funny, like it's so weird how coding has so little you know, like there isn't much like coding YouTube videos where you could just watch someone like actually talk about their design choice as well. They're like designing stuff. There's so little not instructional content, because there's instructional content, but like,
well, there's not that little. There's enough that it's more than you could watch. Like GeoHots.
Yeah, but he's it. That's it. There's nobody
is
else.
Is that it?
Right?
Okay. There's me.
Oh yeah, right. I saw this. I forgot.
Watch my YouTube channel.
There's a Bisquit or something, I think.
Bisquit? I've
like,
heard of him.
Yeah, on YouTube, it's he does like some sort of like 3D graphics in C or something. But like in general, like there's not a whole lot of content.
What
like
about
that. I'll watch your
Matt
YouTube videos.
Scala.
That's what I've been looking for.
Oh, thanks.
Never heard of him. Yeah.
Okay, I follow him on Twitter. I forget why I followed him on Twitter, but then he posted a link to his Twitch, so I subscribed. So I get a notification every time he streams. But I've only watched it once, and that one time he was talking about like configuring Subversion for the thing he was trying to do.
Okay. All right. Nice.
I think he might be more of a hardware engineer. I don't know. I should watch more than a minute of his stream.
There are more hardware people that I found, actually, that like sort of make videos about what they did, actually. A lot more. Okay.
Yeah, it seems funner to watch in a lot of ways.
Yeah, Strange Parts. Scanlime, I think, is her YouTube name. Yeah, like they're pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm not really sure how to find a tutor either, even if I was like willing to pay the price. I think there's like a marketplace if you like just Google tutor. I assume it's like...
Yeah, like, I tried that.
Oh,
Wizenk,
okay.
I think is the name.
Oh, okay.
Not really what I was looking for. You know, it's... They're more like on the test prep kind of thing.
Task grab it kind of thing? Oh, okay. Yeah, I imagine there's a lot of adverse selection too, or like anybody's like really great at what they're doing probably isn't opting into being a tutor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there was like a Dan Liu thread a while ago about how we're like really bad at programming, and he compared it to skiing. And I guess his thesis was programming's really hard. Or why did he say we were bad at it compared to skiing? Or like skiing has a culture of like coaching, which programming doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I think a lot of people get coached at work, right? But the problem is that's not really optimal for anyone involved, right?
Yeah. That,
like,
I guess
ideally, you don't want to scale, right?
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of like software engineers at my work that seem really good. That I could probably just ask them, like, "Hey, do you have time? We could just like program together for an hour or so, pair program."
Oh, you guys, I think my company has a uniquely good culture of pair programming.
But, oh, nice. Yeah, I've never pair programmed with anyone at my current job.
Huh. That's kind of wild, actually. I didn't expect that.
Wow. Yeah, I should... So, tell me more about pair programming at your work, actually. I'm curious.
Yeah, it just... I do it, I don't know, like once a day, once every 2 days. Pretty frequently. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, someone codes, the other person like watches the shared screen. You know, it's pretty good. I don't know. It's extremely useful, actually. I kind of didn't like it at first because, you know, meetings and like, you know, just it wasn't the way I worked. But it's actually super useful because you get to watch other people code, and obviously, you know, for obvious reasons, that really helps you because you just, you know. Even if you're helping someone else, right? Like it's still helpful for you because you just see how other people do things.
Yeah, it's hard to like reason back from like a completed like pull request or something to like the process of actually how they made it or how they thought to make the changes where they did and stuff and what they were looking at in between. And so do you for like an hour or two at a time or?
Yeah, basically. I mean, how do you fix, like, if someone has a problem, how do you, like, help them, then, if you don't pair program? Like, what do you do?
At work? That's a good question. Do you mean, like, if I have a problem? Yeah, there's a lot of Slack. I guess it's not fair to say I've done zero pair programming, because there was, like, some time when someone had a problem, and we, like, hopped into, like, a Slack huddle, and I, like, watched for 5 minutes, but... Then they solved their problem and I just hopped off instead of like continuing to like do the whole thing. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I should ask. I feel like I don't want to like, I don't know.
I don't think anyone would be too mad about, hey, let's pair program for like 45 minutes. Like, I don't think that would be really.
Yeah.
Annoying.
And I guess I can just ask in like the team Slack channel and like maybe someone's interested
whoever
in it.
Whoever volunteers.
I don't have to like corner one person and be like, hey, I want to like watch you code for an hour. Just to...
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. Sounds like you don't need a tutor then. Sounds like you're getting tutoring in your job. But I guess you want like more general knowledge, not just like a...
Yeah, that's for coding. What I wanted to specifically do was I wanted to get like a... Specifically for like economics, because that's kind of a subject that I'm very weak on, I don't know a lot about, and I'm kind of interested in, right? So I got the right combo of things, right? I don't have prior knowledge, but I'm still interested in it. So I wanted an econ tutor. I didn't really find anyone. I found Darpu. I'm not going to try to pronounce his real name. So in any case, thanks, but I felt bad because he was busy, so I didn't really want to bother him. But in any case, yeah, I'm sure tutors would be out there if I like put my heart into it, right? I only spend like, I don't know, maybe like 2 hours looking for tutors, but that's kind of the problem, right? That's the administrative overhead, right? Eventually I'll get around to it, but that's the problem, right? I already procrastinated with it for like, 4 months or whatever, trying to find a tutor. I'm like, ah, how am I going to find them? I could be highly agentic and go to like an econ department and put out a leaflet and or a poster or whatever, and hey, I'll pay you, help me learn economics, right? But that's kind of the issue. How do I sustain that? How do I ensure I sustain that? So I'm sure I'll get around to it sooner or later, like probably this year, but it's definitely not like it's not as good of a solution to prevent mental decline over the long run, over like, 40, 50, 60 years, right? It's definitely like a, I feel like it's like a good short-term solution, if that makes sense, right? I mean, there are other ways, right? Develop a habit of learning things and then creating shipping projects, right? That's fine, right? But that's also like the
Yeah, that's
administrative
what we're
overhead
doing
is
right now.
high. Yeah. So like, I don't know. Yeah, that's my thinking on that. So.
Yeah, maybe this is more about me, but I feel like economics is not something I would like wake up and want to learn because I feel like it's not connected to like a skill. Like, I guess at the end of the day, your skill is you can now write economics papers if you like spend years on it and really understand the body of knowledge that everyone's
I think
producing,
I've read too much Marginal Revolution. I think that's the problem.
but
Yeah.
that's but. So what do you actually want to know about economics? Like, are there things in the world that you're constantly confused by that you think you could actually predict if you knew more?
No,
There's
I
definitely
just
things in the
think
world that
I don't
confuse me,
have.
but rarely do I think I could predict them if I just knew a bit more.
Yeah, I don't think I have an economics brain. That's the thing. I don't think like an economist like from from like that's not my natural mode of thinking, So
Like, you don't
it's
think marginally
mostly
enough, or is there like
I don't know, it's just like I don't when I see things, I don't immediately start like considering the economics of it. Like, you know what I mean? Like when I seek answers for why something is, right? That's not my default mode of thinking. I think technical, I think social, right? I don't really think like economics. And I think that's just because I don't know it well enough, right? So, I'm not like, oh, like, what's the economic situation that led to this thing happening or something, right? Like either macro or micro, whatever, but like it's not something I generally think about a lot. So I figured this would be a cool way to fix that, because I don't know, right? Like all I took was AP macro and micro, so
Oh,
like,
nice.
and
Me
I got a
too.
4. So yeah,
Oh,
it's not
wrecked.
great, but so yeah, I don't know. So that's all I know. I'm like, oh, okay, Fed interest rates, cool. Yeah, I know what that means.
Yeah. These
I
interest
don't know the
rates are surely bad
implications.
for me, but I'm really excited for this like flippening where I think soon the risk-free rate will be higher than my mortgage rate.
Oh, that is cool.
Then
That is nice.
I'll feel
Yeah.
really rich, I think. But I mean, I would feel so rich if I had have gotten my mortgage at 2% if I just got it like 6 months earlier. That'd be the dream.
Oh, when did you get yours?
In July this year, or last
Oh,
year,
wow.
I
That
guess.
okay, yeah, nice.
So
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah,
I
that
was
wasn't
able to
that
get a
time, I
rate in the
guess.
fours, but
Yeah.
could be worse.
It's not zero, right?
Not zero, yeah.
Yeah, not zero, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny talking to older people because they all give you the same advice, which is you can pay more than you have to, which like probably made a lot of sense for them because I feel like all of their mortgage rates were probably above 10 actually.
Oh,
But it
yeah,
makes
right,
no
like back in
sense
the
for me,
70s,
like
right? Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of advice that doesn't really translate across the ages well.
Yeah, another Twitter thread you made was about sending cold emails and DMs and have you done a lot of that? Has it have any been like really successful?
Not. So the answer is that, not individually, but in an aggregate, yes, if that makes sense, right? Like no one cold DM or cold email was like super useful, but in aggregate, if you sum them all up, it was super useful for me as a person. I've developed a new social network, or like not social media network, just social network IRL. And then I met a bunch of cool people, learned a bunch of new things, and then Yeah, I mean, I had prospects on a few jobs that didn't really work out, but were helpful in the long run anyways. So all in all, I would say 10 out of 10, you should join Twitter.
Nice. Oh, so these are all from Twitter. None of them are emails. They're all DMs.
Yeah, I mean the emails were cool. I had a bunch of cool conversations, but nothing really came out of that. So I mean, still positive. Still would recommend. But also the problem is that I haven't really been working on things that would be substantially helped by a cold email or cold DM, right?
Right,
So
yeah.
I'm not really like asking for things. So, yeah.
Yeah, I really need to talk to more people on Twitter. If you made this far
Yeah,
in the
I do
conversation,
recommend.
you should know that I live near Seattle and I'm down to meet any stranger in a public place with lines of sight from tall buildings. Yeah, I wonder if I've received more cold emails. Yeah, I guess I definitely have because I've never sent one, but I sometimes get them. Or,
Oh, nice.
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, someone was
Yeah.
interested in my Brownian motion thing. He said he found it on DuckDuckGo. He just searched for Brownian motion. It was like one of the images.
Funny. That's nice. Yeah, I gotta get on my blog more. Go work on that. I didn't really receive any cold emails from him, but I receive a lot of cold DMs about various things. So, yeah.
No, yeah, I don't know. I feel like blogging is overrated. Every like successful blogger eventually writes a blog about how you should blog. This is actually a blog I plan to write about how everyone
You
blogs
should
about how
plan
you
to
should
blog.
blog. But I don't know. I'm sure like obviously there's like a long tail and some people like are not and it's not the tail I'm talking about, it's a high peak where like some people like
Yeah.
start blogging and then it's their career or they're like world famous.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I definitely don't think I've gotten a return that justifies the investment. I kind of like writing, I guess. I don't know. But not that much. Not enough to like justify all the writing I've done, I think.
Yeah, I
I don't
mean,
know if it's worth it.
you gotta love it, right? And then the benefits come later. It's one of those things, right? I mean, it's like an artistic pursuit anyways, right? If you don't love the game, right, you're not gonna be great at it, which is, that's fair. I think the way that I made blogging work for me, which is to say I didn't, but it's like the way I made it work for me is that I just blog. Like I post things that I would have done anyways and just kind of shove it onto the internet, which is fine, it doesn't really amount to much, but I guess it's better than not having a blog at all, right?
Oh yeah, I thought your
Yeah.
making furniture post was very interesting.
Yeah, right? Something like that. 'Cause I was like, I'm gonna forget how I did this, and then I was like, throw it up on the internet. Easy enough. Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. I like that.
Oh yeah, speaking of your blog, I read your one about ergonomics. So you said you don't sit on a chair. Where are you sitting right now? Are you like pacing around, hanging from the
I'm
ceiling?
pacing,
You're
yeah.
pacing. Oh, nice.
But in general, standing desk, stools are really good. I have thoughts on this topic. So I went to an Alexander Technique teacher.
Not the
She
famous one. Oh, okay, she's not the famous
no,
one.
yeah, not the guy off Twitter. But because of the guy off Twitter, I was like, let me give it a shot, And so I went to her. She sort of basically recommended things which were very similar to the things recommended in the book Deskbound by Kelly Starrett, right? He's some sort of guy who's good at like flexibility and stuff. So I read his book, and it's funny because they actually both said very, very similar things with a very, very different vibe. She's kind of like Wu Wei, just like understand why you're trying to get better posture and sort of, feel that and gently remind yourself. And he's like, you got to hold yourself with all your muscles upright, right? And you need to be at like 30% muscle recruitment in your spinal cord at all times, And I'm like, that sounds whack. That sounds hard. And yeah, so it was really funny to me how they both said the same things. But in any case, the things that they said was, stay active, don't sit too much, walk around, the desk bound, the book specifically recommended stool because I actually ran into this problem where standing too much, is not great either, right? So I'm like, okay, so what do I do? How do I not stand while still staying active? And it's like the stool is good. You can move around a lot. You can change positions. Put a foot up on the stool. Put one foot like behind the stool, one foot in front of like on the stool. Fold your leg on the stool, so you can kind of like or a high bar stool, I guess I should specify. So yeah, that kind of works out. And then I try to replicate some form of manual labor, kind of, right? Because it's like usually, I guess, quote unquote, healthy people in my mind are people who generally tend to have non-repetitive, lightweight, motion, right? Frequently, right? So basically every 20 minutes, which on good days I do with a timer, on bad days I just kind of do based on whatever, whenever I feel like it. I do sort of like, I lift like 5 pound weights. I do like, you know, whatever. Like just basically sometimes I just kind of move it around my head or whatever. And some days I do like actual exercises, like, you know, curls with like 5 pounds, 10 pounds, just like super small stuff just to sort of like get moving.
Oh, that's
And
really
then,
cool. Yeah, I'm jealous that you're pacing right now. I'm like desk bound myself because I wired my headphones. I usually use Bluetooth, but I figured I'd lower the latency for this call. And I have like a boom mic I'm using. So you just have like a wireless headset that you're pacing around with?
The
Okay.
wireless headsets are good. And then, you know, of course, I try to get my 10,000 steps a day, you know, but like I think a lot of, you know, now I'm gonna go back to studies. Are they real? But like, you know, the studies that I read that seem like fairly okay are like, you know, it's the issue is that even if you work out once a day and then you walk 10,000 steps in one burst, right? The problem is the long stretches where you're just sitting, right? And so, you know, what's they didn't offer any recommendations, but clearly, if sitting for 6 hours straight is bad, what do you do? Get up, right? So, you know, that's kind of what I figured. And then I think sitting is terrible for you. I like the nutritious movement. It's like I think it's like a, you know, it's a little seed oily in vibe, but you know, it's cool. I think it's like a lady who her entire point is like, you know, you should be focusing on improving the sort of variety and type of movements you do, right? So like, you know, sit on the ground, you know, pull-ups, whatever, like monkey bars, you know, just kind of trying to move in more ways, right? And then that's supposed to like help you. And is there any evidence for this? Probably not. I don't think so, but you know, it seems like common sense, right? Like walking around on like varied surfaces and then sitting on the floor definitely seems a lot better than like sitting in chairs, right? And I think of the boxing glove analogy where, you know, boxing gloves increase head trauma, right? Because they protect your hands. And so I sort of think of the same thing. Like a comfy chair is like a boxing glove for your ass, right? It's you know, it protects your butt from like pain, but on the other hand, you screw your spine up and your hamstrings and your glutes, right? So I think like being slightly uncomfortable, right? Like sitting on the floor on like something hard or like on a stool, like you get uncomfortable fast enough that you sort of remember to switch positions, right? Whereas if you sit in a Herman Miller, you know, you're gonna be comfortable, right? But I think I'm worried about the long-term damage. So, yes. So that's the spiel.
Yeah, my latest ergonomic change might be like too comfy. I've gotten this like split keyboard, and I've split it so much that it just lies where my hands are off the desk chair rests, armrests. I'm
So
very comfy.
what does this imply? Like what, like, oh, so you don't even have to like lift your hands is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, I don't have to lift my hands. I don't have to move them. There's the keyboard is just where my hands naturally rest now.
Ah, nice. Very nice. Solid. I mean, that's probably not the best, but on the other hand, I do like comfort, so I can see I could see how that would be nice. But yeah, I don't know. What are your takes? Do you think like what's your general like you are on the comfy side of things, right? You sit for how long? Like ish?
I do actually get up pretty often during the day. Probably because I have like focus problems, not because I want to exercise, but yeah, so I'm in the basement, so most of the time when I get up, I'll go upstairs, if I want to get like a drink, or if I want to go to the bathroom, I have to go upstairs. So
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
actually, man,
nice.
my
Yeah,
Fitbit
the
was
stairs
telling
help.
me I did like 100 steps the other day,
Oh,
but I think
nice.
part of that is I ran to the beach, and it's like down a pretty big hill, so not 100 steps, 100
Nice.
flights, 100 flights.
Oh, what? That's a lot. That is a lot. Jesus, I was like 100 steps. Yeah, that's pretty all right, you know.
Yeah, I guess that'd be 10
That's, you know.
flights, yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I guess I used to be like a standing desk guy. I have a standing desk right next to me, but it's like a fixed tight standing desk, so I have to like switch computers if I want to use it. So I never do. But when I, well, not my last job at Google, because that one I had a standing desk, but my partner's or my teammate's desk was so close I couldn't go above his desk. So his was naturally above me, so he could like go high or low, but I could only go high if he went higher. I could have asked him to like slightly move it, but I never did. But the job before that, I would stand maybe like on all afternoon. But yeah, I think standing too long is itself bad. Yeah, you're right. You have to move and change positions.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of nuance in like sort of it's like fractal thinking about it. Like, you know, it's like the standing desk is bad if you don't move, right? And then in general, I think I should preface this with saying like remote work is kind of essential for this kind of nut job behavior, because if you started, you know, flailing your arms around with 5-pound weights at like 3 p.m. in the office, you know, you better be doing that like some sort of life extension startup, because otherwise it's going to be, you know, it's going to be slightly problematic. You know, people are going to be like, oh, he's crazy. So yeah. So I think remote work is kind of helpful for this.
Yeah, when I was at Palantir, I think the design team, maybe this is just like a 1-week thing or a 1-day thing, but I think they might have had a culture of like doing push-ups every half hour or something.
Oh, damn, that's
maybe they just did that for 1 day.
I think I would develop rotator cuff issues. But yeah.
Yeah, maybe you have to switch it up. Maybe it wasn't push-ups, I don't know, but I think they did do something every half hour, which...
Yeah, in principle, that is a good thing. Yeah, that is. Yeah.
No, I don't know. I wouldn't also look at my teammate funny if they just started doing push-ups like halfway through the day.
You would or wouldn't?
I wouldn't, but I am weird. I would think they were looking at me funny if I did those.
I don't know. Fortunately, I don't have to answer these questions. I just do it, and nobody sees me except my cat. So
yeah, imagine going to a physical place to work. Those were dark days.
Whack.
Yeah.
Can't even imagine that. No, yeah, I am very blessed to sit at home all day. It's incredible. But yeah. Oh, and like meetings, right? It's a killer app for meetings, right? Because I could never focus for a full hour of like talking about something, right? But instead, you know, I grab a deck of cards, I do some card tricks with one hand, I'm wandering around with my, you know, legs, you know, staring at the ceiling, and all in all, I can like, you know, like super... Like it really helps with focus when you're moving around during a meeting, like a lot. So yeah, that's super helpful. Yeah.
Does it though? Because I feel like my problem with focus with like meetings in the current year is like no one knows where I'm looking and I'm not really making eye contact with anyone. I feel like I can talk with someone for an hour in person, but I feel like an hour long like phone call is more difficult.
Really? Oh, I
don't know. I guess we're doing that right now. I guess and we've been focusing for an hour, so maybe it's. Maybe,
I don't know,
maybe it works now because there's like not a diffuse attention, or like we're both talking to each other. It's not like a meeting with five people where like for certain parts of it,
you
one person doesn't
out, yeah.
really need to contribute.
Yeah, yeah. The zoning out is definitely something I struggle with, especially when it's not relevant to me. So, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really bad about that. Yeah. Yeah, my team at work, there's like 10 of us, and like it seems like we're doing like 3 or 4 different things. Sometimes it feels like it should be 3 or 4 different teams, but I guess that leads to other kinds of organizational problems.
Yeah, I try not to think about that. I like my sort of black box life, right? I get inputs, I do outputs. That's nice. I like to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm. I guess we've been going for about an hour. Do you want to call now?
I got nothing after this, but it's up to you, man.
I'm getting a little tired, and maybe we should stop it.
Oh, sure,
yeah. I thought it was a really good conversation, though. It was nice.
That was solid. I liked that. Mm-hmm. I liked how I got my rant about ergonomics now, because I will copy this, you know, like transcribe it, get it into ChatGPT, turn it into an article. No effort from me required. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I did, I guess, write down some other questions. Like, were there any that you thought about and wanted to answer?
Yeah, the only thing, okay, so I guess you could cut the part in between all of this, but in any case, yeah, I just wanted to plug that, like, yeah, I'm gonna be writing like a physical newsletter hopefully soon, because the problem is I struggle with editing writing a lot, but I think I finally got a handle on it. And of course, I got that film camera that I posted on Twitter. And so, yeah, because the problem is my social network has now gotten so big that I see people very infrequently sometimes. So I figured the best way, you know, to A, get some writing out, B, motivate myself to edit my writing, C, actually use my film camera for something, and D, catch up with people who are like distant on the social graph or something, would be to just send physical letters out with some photos in them. So I will be doing this. Yeah. If you would like to sign up, please message me.
Yeah. It sounds like a really cool project. Yeah. If you're listening to this, send your physical address to Fred R. Kozlowski, especially if you're anonymous on Twitter, but even if you're not.
Yeah. Ruin that OPSEC. No, and the funny thing is I kind of enjoy the idea of someday when this becomes a massive, millions of subscribers, you will need to send a physical letter to subscribe. I like that. I like that thought, that hypothetical.
Oh, so in the future, you know? We won't be able to DM you on Twitter. You'll like post your address and we'll first have to mail you our address.
Hey man, for this to happen, I need to actually keep this up for a while, you know? But I figure, you know, even if I get a couple letters out, that's already good, so.
Okay, yeah, get in now when you just have to DM Fred. It seems like a lot of work to mail.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it seems like more people are doing this kind of thing. Wasn't, like, Mimi had a post about how she posted her P.O. box address, right? And she wants people to send a letter to her.
Oh, I don't think I follow her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's sure. That's reasonable.
But yeah, I mean, it's a cool idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah. And I wanted to plug something too. If anyone's listening to this, you're invited on my podcast. Anyone in the world.
That's a pretty wide audience. You will achieve success.
I'll read all your publicly available content and ask you some questions. But I won't click all your links on your link posts. It's too much.
Wow. That was directly aimed at me.
No, they were interesting links. I read some of them, but I couldn't read all of them.
That's just all my tabs. So when I close tabs, I just throw it on the internet. It's been useful for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tabbing is, I know why it's so bad. I have a conspiracy theory about this. It's, if it was good, you wouldn't need to use Google search as much.
Oh, like you would already have it in your tabs, you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like,
oh, okay.
Yeah. How often have you like Googled something and opened a link and be like, hey, I already have this open as a tab?
Oh god, so frequently. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, Google search, that should be an integration. Like it's like instead of like one of the they just answer your question box, they just say, hey, why don't you just jump to this tab? Actually that does exist. It's like resume your journey. It's like in the not on Google search itself, but in like the URL bar.
Yeah. But I think I use tabs differently than most people because I have like 2,000. But yeah.
Whoa.
It seems to be more of like a bookmarking thing for me and like just generally my working memory as a whole. Uh-huh. So but yeah, we can discuss this next time. Yeah. I don't want to keep you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks so much for being on my podcast, and thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you. Goodbye.